I'm speaking with Bruce Pannier, RF Ural correspondent, who is speaking to us today from Osh. And Bruce, if you could just give us an idea of what you've seen over the past 24 hours, how things have changed there.
Well, you know, things are calming down. It's pretty quiet in the city, but basically the city is still fairly deserted. Certainly, I've been here many times, and I've never seen that few people on the street. There's still neighborhoods, Uzbek neighborhoods, that are barricaded in, and we managed to negotiate our way into one of them yesterday, and the roadblocks are still all up, and you know, people are kind of just wandering around trying to figure out what they're going to do. So, you know, I mean, it's not much better than it has been, but I suppose a little bit better and quiet, although everyone's waiting to see what happens. Certainly tonight at 6 o'clock will be a big test of if this calm is going to hold in this country, or at least in this part of the country.
Well, talk a little bit about that. Tonight, there's a deadline for these barricades to be removed. Can you explain what that's all about?
Yes. Yesterday, the mayor of the town, Mirazbek Mikzakmatov, gave a press conference. Part of it was about the people who had gone missing, and there's still no word of them, so you were able to post pictures of relatives who were gone, and you wanted to get information on them. But the main part of his speech was about the roadblocks that are still guarding Uzbek neighborhoods right now. And he said they have to be removed by 6 o'clock tonight. If they don't, he said, well, send the military in to remove them. And if they have to use force to remove them, that's what they're going to do. The military sent a helicopter up over the city, dropping leaflets over Uzbek neighborhoods with basically the same message. Unfortunately, the Uzbek neighborhood that we went in yesterday, which is called Majarin Tau, no one had seen these leaflets and had no information about it. We were the ones that told them that, if you know, they still were barricaded in, and we said, if you don't remove these tomorrow, they're sending the army, which of course terrified them even more, because now whether the army participated in this or not is unclear, and I haven't seen any evidence to suggest that they actually did participate in killing Uzbeks, but that doesn't matter to the Uzbek population. They're sure that the military is against them. So the fact that, you know, even the thought that the military is going to come in there and remove the roadblocks and possibly use force has terrified them more than they are. And that's hard. That's pretty hard to even believe, because they're scared people. There's no doubt about it. And they have good reason to be. Their homes are destroyed. Their relatives are, some of them shot, throats cut, all kinds of things. In Majarin Tau, just to bury the dead, there's an old cemetery in Majarin Tau. It's not where they've been burying people for many, many years, but that's the only available land, so that's where they're burying people at the moment. A bunch of fresh graves out there. So, like I said, it was not good news for them that they wanted the barricades up, because they think the barricades are the only thing that are protecting them from Kyrgyz, you know, the ethnic Kyrgyz out here, and they're even more worried that the military, which they claim is all ethnic Kyrgyz, is going to come in and remove it and shoot some more people.
What's the theory behind removing the barricades? Is it an effort to restore a sense of normalcy? I mean, obviously you can understand why these people who are behind the barricades would want to keep them there.
Yeah, that's just it. That's exactly it. I mean, the government here and certainly the local administration wants to show that things are returning back to normal. And when you have turned over trucks and sandbags and things everywhere, obviously it's not a normal situation. So that's why they want the barricades lifted. There's also another part to this too. According to the mayor, and I have no idea on what information he has, but he says inside these Uzbek neighborhoods that are barricaded are Kyrgyz hostages and Islamic terrorists. He didn't elaborate on where these Islamic terrorists might have come from or anything, but he did say, it seemed to me it was only based on the fact that some of the Uzbeks, when they went out in the street and were clashing with Kyrgyz, said Allahu Akbar as they were going down the street. So from that, he's managed to interpret that as being a sign that these are Islamic militants that are in there. And he wants all the weapons given over. He wants all the Islamic militants handed over to the authorities. And any hostages anyone has have to be freed.
And so when the barricades come down, are the streets going to be patrolled by Kyrgyz troops? I mean, what's going to be the feel on the street there?
Yeah, I mean, that's just it. The troops are all out. And you know, as far as I can see, I have to say that, in fact, that all the troops are Kyrgyz. Now, there have been some neighborhoods where they've pulled up armored vehicles or tanks to block off the neighborhood, kind of imposing their own roadblock to keep the Kyrgyz and Uzbeks apart. And they have seemed to have done a fairly good job of that, of at least instilling some kind of calm. The Uzbeks don't come out to talk to them, but in the meantime, no one goes in at the same time, so it's a pretty effective barricade. But, you know, again, when there's one ethnic group fighting against another ethnic group, you hate to turn over your whole future to the ethnic group you've just been fighting with and depend on the fact that the army is going to do the right thing and keep everyone apart. There's plenty of soldiers here, plenty of paramilitary that they've called up. I mean, there's no reason why they couldn't keep law and order in the city. But after what happened last week, you know, certainly the Uzbek population really doesn't have much trust that the government is going to help them out. And you know, of course, this deal of lift the roadblocks so we can get back to a state of normalcy, they interpret that as being as serving the government interest and the local authorities' interests far more than their own.
Now, it certainly seems like the humanitarian situation is obviously worse on the border area, but from where you are in Osh, what's the situation like there in the city?
Well, you know, humanitarian aid, there is humanitarian aid. The problem with it is there's not enough information about where you can find it. And, you know, for the Uzbeks, that means having to leave your neighborhood to go out and get it. And I do have one story. When we were sitting there yesterday in Majorantal, one of the Uzbeks actually, took the government at their word and went out to buy food. And while as we were talking to a group of Uzbeks, this guy came back, and he was obviously beaten. And he said that he had gone out and got food, and on the way back, he had been beaten up by some Kyrgyz, and they took his food, took his mobile phone, everything, and you know, just told him to get out of there. So that, you know, when those things are still going on, it's going to be pretty hard for anyone to want to lift the roadblocks. But of course, the option there is means that the military is just going to come in and smash them down. And if anyone tries to resist, the mayor said, we'll use force if we have to.